youth show. Wow. That's very seldom that I can't grasp a particular, not that I can't grasp it, but I mean, geez, you have to like look at it 100 times before you understand what these oaks are doing. It's fascinating. 5 students, 4 doing honors in biology, and a fourth year engineering student working with the R, specifically with their synthetic biology research division. They've got one aim. And that's to bring back the gold medal from iGEM. What's iGEM? Well, the International Genetically Engineered Machine Competition. As I've told you, it was hosted by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology. What are they doing? Well, what are they going to be doing? What's going to bring back that gold, hopefully? Well, it's something called BioTweet. Now, this is where the brain starts slowing down. Because you ask yourself, what exactly is BioTweet? Well, they're going to try and emulate, right, a concept of social communication, things that you and I do on a daily basis, like Twitter. They want to emulate that, but in bacteria. Now, that is where my brain just stops, and I'm like, what the hell? What is that? So that's why I've invited one of those students, Sasha Reznichenko, an honors student in molecular medicine. Sounds very posh. At Wits Medical School, joining us tonight. Sasha, how are you doing?
Hello there. Good evening. I'm good. How are you?
I'm very good. My brain's still trying to grasp exactly what jokes are doing. You know a lot better than I would, obviously. You're involved in this molecular medicine, of all things. And this concept called BioTweet. For simple, doof people like myself, can you explain to me what exactly a BioTweet is? Or BioTweet, the concept?
Okay, so basically what inspired us to come up with this concept is, like you said, the things that we use nowadays on a daily basis, things like Twitter and Facebook, which are social networks. And we thought of how can we apply this concept to biology and make something useful out of it? Just how internet and things like that are useful to humanity. How can we make something biological that can do the same thing?
Okay.
And so we came up with this idea of creating a network, but out of... So we're engineering bacteria that are able to communicate with each other, just as you and I would be able to communicate over the internet or over the phone that we are now.
Huh? But how does that happen, though? Okay, so you create this bacteria, which in and of itself blows the mind, right? Then you get this bacteria to communicate with other bacteria, which has not been engineered, which you've not created. And I would imagine that bacteria would find itself in a body of water, in a person's body, wherever. How does the whole communication thing work?
Okay, so basically the first thing that we wanted to achieve was to engineer bacteria, which we call kind of a detective bacteria, messenger bacteria, that can go out and search an area, find a certain substance. Obviously, we would engineer it to be sensitive to that something.
Mm.
And then that bacteria, once it has found the highest concentration of that substance, it can come back to its starting point. And color. So it would signal to you that, look, I've changed to green now, so that means I have found, for example, let's say mercury in polluted water. And then we wanted to take this further and then say, okay, how can we, now we've identified the problem, how can we fix the problem? So then we wanted to create this bacteria that could not only come back with a message, but also send that message onto another bacteria that could go back to that point of where the substance is and clear it up or solve the problem at that point.
Wow.
So bacteria actually can communicate. It's a natural occurring phenomenon, naturally occurring phenomenon, and it's actually called quorum sensing, but I don't want to get into the details of that.
You'll make me feel totally incompetent, my dear, once you start going into that. Let me tell you. Okay.
But basically, they are able to secrete molecules, which are signaling molecular messages to each other. So what we are doing is just interfering with that signaling that they already have in place and just re-engineering it to make it whatever we want the message to be.
Oh, my word. So let's take a really disgusting body of water, like Hartebeespoort Dam, for example. And you've got all that green rubbish floating on the surface half the time, right?
Yes.
Theoretically speaking, you'd be able to, although it's quite a massive body of water, you'd be able to inject bacteria, right, that you've genetically engineered. That bacteria will, you know, do that little thing, they'll send out a search party. they'll find other bacteria. Not only will they find that bacteria and communicate to you, hold on, China, we found this bacteria that you've been looking for. They will then send a message to bacteria to say, listen, Chinas, we now need to sort out this body of water and activate that back to the problem. Is that how it works?
Exactly.
Oh, wow.
Exactly.
I'm not that dwarf after all. Okay. This is fascinating stuff. This is really, really interesting. Now, we're chatting to Sasha Reznichenko, who's an honors student in molecular medicine. She's going to be a doctor and professor one day, I'm quite sure. And I can at least say, well, we spoke to her before that huge thing that solved the water problem in Hartbeespoort. And that place, what's that golf course in Cape Town, Fos? There's that golf course in just before you get to Blouberg. It's also got a disgusting body of water floating around it. Hopefully you guys can sort that out. I've got Tony in Joburg very quickly. He's given us a call, Sasha. We're taking calls, by the way. 883-0702-Gauteng, the Western Cape, 446-0567. Tony, hi.
Hi, Kino. Hi, Sasha.
Okay.
You know, I'm a first-year student from WITS, and like, I'm a big fan of this iGEM thing since I heard about earlier this year. Now, for a few weeks, I've been a kid scientist and like find out about this concept of a ribo switch. And I've seen on the iGEM website that they actually use a ribo switch. So I was wondering if Sasha could explain to me or just clarify this concept of this ribo switch.
Ribo switch. Okay, now I'm getting lost again. Sasha?
Okay, so a ribo switch is basically a piece of RNA which carries a message. So to make a protein, you go from DNA to RNA, and from RNA to your protein. So we are using these ribo switches, so the intermediate between DNA and protein.
Let me explain something here very quickly. Mahesh is going, huh? And he's shaking his head violently. I mean, one would expect him to be a Kaiser Chiefs supporter at this rate. But RNA, I think, is ribonucleic acid, and I think... And the other one, what is it? DNA? What? No, deoxyribonucleic acid.
Yes.
Okay. Now, what do these things do again?
So DNA is your code, which encodes the RNA message, and the RNA is then translated into your protein, and your protein is the molecule that actually performs the function that you want.
Okay.
So we are using ribo switches, and why we are using them is because they can be sensitive to substances, and they can fold and unfold in the presence or absence of these substances. So this is how we have actually engineered our bacteria. We've put in these ribo switches into our bacteria, which are folded up. And only upon presence of the substance that we want it to be sensitive to, will it actually unfold and make the proteins, which will then initiate this whole networking and sensing and targeting and all of that.
So you can target a body of bacteria or whatever in a lake, or could this work in someone's body itself?
Yes, it could.
So could you fight HIV AIDS? I mean, theoretically speaking, obviously, could you fight something like HIV AIDS with it?
I'm not sure if we could take it that far, but one of the applications that we did think of, it might be a little far-fetched, but I think it is a reachable goal in the future with synthetic biology, is we thought of actually targeting cancer with it as an application, because cancerous cells secrete certain molecules which are specific to cancerous cells, and we were thinking that we could engineer in the future bacteria that are sensitive to those molecules that are secreted by cancerous cells, and those bacteria would be able to actually locate the cancer and then recruit something else, another bacteria, or maybe release of a drug in your body to target those cells and specifically target them at the point of the cancer and not actually affect the rest of your body.
Wow. Wow. Now, let's just go back to Tony quickly to see if you've answered his question. Tony, you have...
That's very interesting. I think that clarifies a lot here.
Okay,
and
brilliant.
By the way, I'm a big fan of iGEM, and I think the site looks awesome. And all the best for the Jamboree later.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You see, we talk about young people and all they sit around. Look at that. I mean, I could only dream to have a child that's as intelligent as Sasha Reznichenko. Seriously. Hey, I mean, your child studying molecular medicine. Now, Sasha, some of the Kugels might be sitting going, I'm a word. That sounds wonderful. But what about my face? You know, the wrinkles start showing. Can you, like, throw molecules into my cheeks and not do that Botox thing? And can you maybe make me age slower? possible?
Well, look, probably. This is the whole beauty of synthetic biology, that you can make anything. If obviously, it has to be possible, but with this field now evolving at a very fast pace, I think many things that people think are impossible will actually become possible and reality someday. But look, that's the thing, and especially with our project, we are just creating a network for bacterial communication, which is actually can serve as a template for so many applications. So maybe even skincare, like you say.
And cellular regeneration.
Even industrial. Pardon?
Cellular regeneration.
I'm not sure about that one. I'll have to think about that.
Okay.
I don't know how bacteria could regenerate yourself.
No, but I'm thinking the concept that you use. I understand absolutely bugger all about this sort of thing. Just had to ask. But anyway, you were talking. You were going on, and I broke your word. I apologize.
No, it's fine. Now I'm thinking of cellular regeneration. Could make a bacteria secrete something that, you know, keeps the cells from dying and keeps them,
in tip-top shape.
Yes.
Well, if you've got any questions, by the way, you can chat to Sasha Reznichenko, honors student, molecular medicine at Wits Medical School. It's fascinating stuff. They're going through to iGEM, for those who've just tuned in. iGEM is the International Genetically Engineered Machine Competition, normally hosted by the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, otherwise known as MIT, very well known in sort of science circles, of course. And they've got this absolutely great concept, right? If you've just tuned in, it's called BioTweet. What they do is they create this bacteria. This bacteria then goes out, searches for other bacteria, right? So it works like we would tweet, for example, like a whole network of tweets coming together. It basically carries a message, right, through a network, sending messages to other bacteria. Now, that bacteria then responds by performing a certain task. I think I've encapsulated that. But it is absolutely fascinating stuff, and they're going to be representing us internationally. We're going to take a break. We're going to be wrapping up with Sasha Reznichenko, as I said, honors student at Wits.
It's the tournament that defined our nation, made heroes out of proud men, and created stories for generations. And we've got it covered by the World Cup Desk 2011 with Al Shuren. Throughout the day on Talk Radio 702. Players, results, news, insight, all on your World Cup Desk with Al Shuren. You always get something out.
That's as good a try as you'll see.
Right here on Talk Radio 702.
Heritage Day encourages South Africans to explore and celebrate their cultural heritage. On the